Good evening, you fine people. Welcome to Heavy Matters Podcast. It's me, Joey. Tonight, we're reviewing two albums. The first one by The Mighty Enslaved, and the second one by another Norwegian band, incidentally, called Corrupt. Two different albums from the same country, which born black metal. So, looking forward to these tonight. As always, I have my compadre, my life partner, my heterosexual life mate, Venny, with me. And it's been not that long, actually, since we spoke last, has it?
No, we're keeping things ticking over nicely, aren't we, at the moment?
Yeah.
We've started the new year with renewed vigour and gusto. And, well, let's see how long it lasts.
Yeah, and to be fair, we both spoke last year about how, like, you were living somewhere, like, in a different part of the country, away from home, and work was busy for us both. But it's nice, actually, to have a bit of structure to our podcast for the first time ever.
Really nice, yeah. Last year was really chaotic, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope we can, a bit more structure, like you say. And we're quite... We've discussed offline about this format of the two album show. We hope you're all enjoying that. Part of that is so we can cover the latest releases ahead of their release date. Part of it is to keep it nice and short and snappy for you folks out there. We know how daunting it can be when a 3.5 hour podcast lands on your Apple Podcast. So one of our main goals in HMHQ is to keep it snappy, keep people engaged. So, yeah, we hope you're all enjoying that format.
Good point, mate. Good point. Just want to talk about a couple of things, actually. First off, Venny, you've probably seen from me hounding the Heavy Matters group that the Mighty Emperor are coming to Dublin in 2024, and the support band has just been confirmed as Winterfelleth. So a double package, and I've never seen Emperor before in my life. I cannot bloody wait for that. It's a Saturday night in Dublin. It's going to be off the chain. And they're also playing Glasgow, mate. Are you going to be?
Yeah, I think I will. It's a long time away. When I saw the dates, it was a bit confusing as to whether it's going to be a month away or a year and a month away. But yeah, it's a long time away. But yeah, I think I will partake in that as a lifelong Emperor fan. So,
yeah. It's definitely worth it. Bucket list for sure. And secondly, we touched on it last week about festival season and there being a fair few up. I'm locked in now for three festivals. I don't know about you. I am doing Tons of Rock in Norway again. I'm doing Bloodstock for the first time, breaking my cherry with that. And I've got Arctangent locked in. That is my three for the year. Will I be seeing you at any of them?
Yes, is the short answer to that. I think I would love to be locked in. I think I'm 95% on the latter two, Bloodstock, to accompany Marty Haddock to make the long drive down from Edinburgh. Yeah. And Arctangent is just, it's hard to miss that now. That very much feels like part of the routine. The big question for me, couple of question marks, is whether I might pop down for Slam Dunk. That's just a one dayer. North is on a Sunday, which is probably a no-go, but maybe going down for South, which is on a Saturday, and whether or not to just pick up a day of Download. I do not think I'll be committing to the full 4 days, and whether I go down for a day. I'm really dying to see how Bring Me Horizon do at it. I just almost want to go for that reason alone. We were talking on the HM group chat earlier. Tony Bliss was saying, he echoed my thoughts entirely of, it'd be nice to do a day, but all of the bands that I would like to see are pretty evenly spread out over the four. Yeah. I think for me, it's either the Friday to see Bring Me or Saturday. And that's not so much to see Metallica, but some of the other bands that I'd like to see, like Coheed and Alexis, or I think on Saturday. So yeah, we'll see on that one. But it's nice to be making those plans, isn't it?
Indeed. And I'm gutted. We've been to Download now for the past 3 or 4 years, I think, religiously. But for me this year, living in Ireland, it's not just a case of getting in a car, it's having to get a flight and logistics of all that. So for me, it's a lot harder decision. Like, download for me is more about just meeting up with our mates, which, you know, we, as we get older, we talked about it gets a lot harder. But I mean, I'm gutted to be missing download. I just, with Bloodstock and ArcTangent back to back weekends.
That's, you know, tough sell to the fam. That,
yeah. Now, shout out to my wife. She's very, you know, she knows that, you know, I've been going to festivals even before we met. So she's very supportive in that regard. And to be fair, like your wife as well, both of them, considering what we do on the podcast and the gigs we go to and all that. So anyway, I'm getting off on a side note. But anyway, yeah, festival season. That's going to creep up before we know it. So plenty to get stuck into there. And let's move on to our first record then. The first one of tonight, there's no other place to start really, is there, mate? It is Enslaved and their 16th album, Heimdall. It's out on the 3rd of March on Nuclear Blast Records. This is the follow-up to 2020's Utgard, and the full length, sorry. And in 2022, they also released the EP, Caravans to the Outer Worlds. So, Enslaved, Venny. Interesting to hear your take on Enslaved and your relationship with them. But for me, Enslaved were or are one of my favourite black metal bands of all time. And when I started getting into black metal all those years ago, and I was researching bands, you know, the likes of Satyricon's Now Diabolical was an album, Mayhem's De Mysterious, and Enslaved's Frost, which is a very early album of theirs. I absolutely fell in love with that. The atmospherics on the album, the mountainous feel to it, and I fell in love with them. And ever since then, you know, I've just gone on to fall more madly, deeply in love with them. So that's my perspective of Enslaved. I'm interested to see when your relationship started with them, and was it a long-lasting relationship, or was it just a quick hop in the sack sort of thing?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would like to start this by saying, for the forthcoming review, that you are the foremost expert on Enslaved. I would very much see to your opinion on a lot of Enslaved related things. For me, as you very politely asked, my relationship has really gone back about 10 years, so not half as long. But still, 10 years is a long time. And I've really enjoyed the last few albums. I mean, Utgard, like you said, we reviewed really favourably on the pod. It was in my top 20. I think it was number 14 that year. E in 2017, I loved again, was in my top 20 albums. And is it Ritter?
Ritter, yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed before that. So yeah, about 10 years for me. And it's fair to say, and you would be expecting this from me, for me, the direction in which Enslaved had travelled and been far more expansive, far more progressive, moving away from their roots of pure black metal, that's clearly going to be much more up my street. And that's definitely the case here. And the more progressive they are for me, the more there is for me there.
Fair comment. It's always the case that when a band such as Enslaved Stature releases a new album, you're always going to look back at previous work, and Utgard was their previous work, and we both gushed over that. I'll say it now, Enslaved have never released a bad album, in my opinion. So that's where I stand now. So take that as you will as we go through this review. But I'm interested to know, I'll ask straight off the bat, how does this stand up against Utgard for you?
I might answer a question with a question if I can. And what I'm going to ask you, which will feed into my answer, is what is different about Heimdall to the last two or three Enslaved records?
Good question. I had a feeling this might come up. Really, the progressiveness is still there. The clean vocals that Hakon provides are still there, coupled with Grutal's textbook growls and gravelly vocals. It's still holds the same atmosphere for me, and that's a big thing for Enslaved albums, especially these latter ones. When you look at the cover, the album covers of the last albums, and you're listening to the album itself, it really does take you away into a sort of different world, which probably sounds a bit cheesy, but that's how I feel with it. They've still kept the original formula, but I think the song structures on the new album are a lot more expansive compared to Utgard. And I'm going to take Homebound as an example. It was a very quick hit, if that makes sense. It was a proper single to be released off the album. Heimdall doesn't have any singles like that as such. It's more of a journey. And I'm just going to drop this in now, actually, that I actually interviewed Grootle from Enslaved on the podcast. And, you know, I go back to what we've done on this podcast, how we started like 3 years ago, just the two of us, like, you know, during COVID, we'll just do this and just, you know, see what happens. And 3 years later, I'm sat chatting to the likes of Eric Danielson from Watain and Grootle from Enslaved. Like, never in a million years would I have expected that. But I asked the question about in singles, would he prefer to have singles or have the whole album released in its entirety? And his answer was the latter. And I think that's very poignant on this album, because it's hard to put a single to a track that's 7 minutes long. And going back to like when Tool released their singles for Fear and Inoculum, they didn't click right away. And this Enslaved album, you need to listen to it in its entirety. The singles didn't click with me straight away. It's only when you listen to it in its entirety. I'm not sure if that answers your question. But
yeah, I mean, look, I don't actually disagree with anything you say here. But look, let me give you my first impressions of it. And bearing in mind my relationship with Enslaved goes back 10 years, where they have been noticeably much more progressive. And I don't necessarily mean like you describe in terms of the expansive song structures and stretching things out, the atmospherics I think they've always had. But they have been progressive in the true sense of progressive metal. They would fit with bands of similar style, Opeth, you know, plenty of others in that wheelhouse. To me, this album has got a lot more black metal than I was expecting. No, okay. I don't know if that... So that's what I was trying to get out of you to see. And I don't know whether you think that, but certainly compared to Utgard. I mean, look, it's never gone away, but I think it's much more prominent on this album.
Interesting. And I didn't really notice it. Now, however, that's just because I listen to a lot of black metal and this is more from that area and it just gets lost on me, but not in a bad way. But I didn't think that at all when I was listening to it. I was thinking, this is the Enslaved that I just love listening to. Like, do you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. It still has that expansiveness. It still has that progression, but not in a quote-unquote proggy way. I think that atmosphere, they've still got stacks of. And I kind of agree with what you say. To my mind, they're an incredibly consistent band that haven't really put a foot wrong. It was just a little bit, jarring's the wrong word, but it just was a little bit of surprise to me that switch back to a bit more of the raw black metal away from, like you talk about with Homebound, that much more accessible, I think is a fair kind of word, kind of simpler song structure, more accessible. There is melody here. The melodic vocal from the keyboard is still here and in plentiful supply across the album, but it's not delivered in that really short, accessible way on this album.
Yeah. So what is your thoughts on the album then? Did you enjoy it?
Of course, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was, as I say, slightly different to what I was expecting. It is much more, like you say, something to be consumed as a whole rather than dipping in and out for individual tracks. It starts off just incredible atmosphere, the soundscapes it creates. You can just imagine the Viking longboat being paddled silently down the fjord ready for an invasion. They're sweeping weatherscapes all over it. It's very cinematic in its scope. I really like the last three tracks for me and my favourite parts of the record. The Eternal Sea, again, stacks of atmosphere all over it. A little bit more of a kind of post-metal in its build. We're talking of song structures, post-metal in its kind of build. And that has a kind of cleaner and more melodic chorus. So I think that for me is more in keeping with the lineage of the last few albums. And that is the real Enslaved that I love. And so that really chimed with me.
That track you're talking about, The Eternal Sea, is actually, it's my favourite track. And when I was speaking to Greg, I was saying, I think that showcases this Enslaved album perfectly. The bit I like about it is the threat of the opening, how it builds, and you're expecting this massive drop to come in, and then it's like when the waves come crashing in the sea, and then it comes back, draws back, and goes forward again, then draws back, and then finally kicks in. But the way this song has, it's got a real stomping riff, and I don't mean this in a negative way, like it's a simple enough riff that you wouldn't expect from Enslaved, but it's just repeats so much. Then you've got Hacken's clean vocals that come in, and he really does shine in this album for me, Hacken, the keyboardist, as well as the keys he builds into in the album. And I think that's most noticeable on, I'm sure you're going to come to it, the title track Heimdall, which starts with an almost Clockwork Orange style passage that is so eerie and jarring that just makes me think like it's a completely different track from a different album. But that's Enslaved. This is where they're at now, and they built it into this album so well. And that's what I mean around song structures, how this album is just as good. Well, I won't tell you about where I'm at the moment with the album, how I think it compares, but that's my two cents on that.
Yeah, I mean, going on that title track, and it's something that does echo. I mean, clearly being of a progressive bent, Enslaved, Dvorak always had synths or keys, whatever you wish to call it, over their albums. But on that track, they've got this really chunky 80s fuzzed up sound on those keyboards. And it's kind of a bit of a juxtaposition, because that doesn't necessarily go with the atmosphere of a Viking longboat silently going down the fjord. It's much more kind of 80s in its sound. And I noticed that kind of key effect on a few of the tracks, keeping that continuity going. But there were little surprises throughout the record like that. So it starts, the title track starts with those really chunky 80s synthy keys, and then it drops into one of the finest riffs on the record on the title track. But then it reminds me a bit of Sorceress by Opeth in a way, that really, where the Hammond organ comes in, and that really chunky sound. But it's a really kind of progressive track. There's so much in terms of dynamics, in terms of tempo, quite loud on that track. And again, you're talking about showcasing the band. I think that track does it to a great effect as well.
Yeah, I mean, I there's no surprise here. I really, really, really like this album. And, you know, seven tracks, not a massive runtime, but the songs are lengthy enough, but it really sucks you in this album. And I can only imagine listening to this in bed, Vinny, as you would.
Absolutely.
But I mean, I can't really say. I mean, I'm going to be biased anyway because I love this band so much, and it's really hard for me not to gush over this. But from an Enslaved fan, this is exactly what I would like them to put out. Simply put, I think it's on par with Utgard. I think potentially it could be better the more I listen to it. Now, I've listened to this album, and we've had this months now, or maybe a month. I've listened to it extensively. I think more and more, I mean, there's no doubt this would be in my top 20. Where it comes in the list is the question. For me, this is sitting at 8.6 right now, which should be no surprise to you where this is going to come.
Absolutely not. And as I opened up my opening gambit being, you are the resident expert on this band. They are one of your favourite bands, and I very much respect your opinion and your review on it. And I'm, by comparison, a mere amateur when it comes to the band. And I'm just going on what I know of the band and the albums I'm familiar with. I mean, this is what I'd say. It's not as immediate as Utgard. There's not as many standout tracks in isolation. For me, whilst black metal is always part of their DNA, is not what I go to them for. And so for me, then taking a step to that black metal, whilst I respect it, and I know some bands from that scene, Ulva being an example, want to get as far away as possible from it. So I respect the fact that they continue to keep that as part of their core sound. I love them for their progressive and proggy in its truest sense, flights of fancy and everything else. And that is, to my taste, is that E. Ritter and Utgard kind of styling. But what I would say is this band have maintained the highest standards throughout, and this record continues in that really rich vein of form, and they keep going to that well of creativity time after time, and they keep coming up trumps. So yeah, for me it's a 7.9, but that is a really high score from me. And look, I think I would take the last three over it, but that's only just a slight deviation on taste between the two of us, I'd say.
Did you listen to In Times?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have.
Yeah, that sort of follows on that rate, that form from like Rita.
Yeah.
Onward, yeah.
Is that what you thought I was going to say? Is that a fair kind of... I was going to ask you what you thought I was going to say there, but...
I actually think that was higher than I thought it would be, to be honest. Because coming from you, that's a very generous rating. But on the same side, everything you've said about the progressiveness of Enslaved, if we're talking about a Venny band, this probably has just the right amount of black metal in there not to put you off listening to a band, not necessarily just Enslaved, but any band. So it's just that right. And the balance of the progressiveness that it has, the clean vocals, which probably help a little bit for you as well, instead of just the usual ilk of them. But I think the progressiveness is a big thing in this, and Enslaved really are just... I mean, I had the luxury of seeing them. I saw them support Opeth, back to your point, in Dublin when they just released In Times, and they only played like three songs off that, which is really frustrating. But then I managed to see them in Norway last year on home turf. They only had, I think, they couldn't have had more than 40 minutes, 45 minutes, but they've got such a massive back catalogue to choose from. That
and
what
long
they did,
songs.
Long songs. They did play Homebound though, which is like the short one, like 5.5 minutes. But no, they're playing, I think it's not Hole in the Sky, it's another one in Bergen, which I was looking at going to, but flights wouldn't allow me. But they're actually playing a festival in London, Incineration Festival, which I'm looking at going. It's on Saturday for day tickets. So maybe
Are they not playing Arctangent?
Oh, fuck, they are playing Arctangent.
Yeah. I mean, it was a real disappointment last year when they didn't make it, but they've been rolled over to this year. And I for one, am just fascinated at how that's going to go down. I think really well. They're not a typical band, and Arctangent doesn't typically go in for pure black metal, but it's clearly a progressive festival, and I think the connoisseurs that go there will really like it. So I can't wait to see how it goes down. So, and I think they will also be given a very generous set of an hour, I would have thought, or near enough.
I'd like to think so.
I think they're high up in the bill, and Arctangent don't mess around. So I think,
yeah. Oh, you just made my day, reminding me that Enslaved are playing. I like it. So Enslaved, Heimdall, it's out on Friday. So check that out. All right, moving on to our next. So that Enslaved from Bergen. This next band, Corrupt, are from the south of Norway. That's all we know. Doesn't say where in the south, but the band's called Corrupt, spelled K-O-R-R-U-P-T. The album is called Secret Sorrows. It's out on the 1st of March on a Wednesday, oddly enough, on Holler Records. So to give a bit of background before I absolutely roast you, Vinny, Corrupt are described as black and hardcore band. Oh, sorry, they're from Kristiansand in southern Norway, home to black metal legends In the Woods and Carpathian Forest. And they said their sound is an amalgamation of Turbo Negro, Comeback Kid, Cavell Attack, and vocalist Mara's previous band, Social Suicide. So, Vinny, usually we pick an album each, and I want to know why on God's earth did you pick this album?
I think if you ask a 21-year-old me whether I'd like this band, I would have been very snooty and sneery and gatekeepery and said, no, too much punk, whatever. But as I've grown older and I like to think wiser, I'm much more accepting of a broad congregation to my church of heavy music. And I've got into a lot of different styles and genres, and certainly hardcore and its affiliated genres has become a much more of interest to me. I really like Cavell Attack, and I don't know what your thoughts on them. I found them when they exploded onto the scene, what must have been 10 years ago now, they were really quite original. They had that punk, hardcore energy, but were coming from a world of extreme metal, but they also brought in rock and roll and that kind of thing. And I think Turbo Negro aren't a band that, I mean, kind of respect them and have heard of them, but I've never really gone in on, but I think they've got a huge legacy in this type of music from Scandinavia. So I really liked Cavell Attack and more recent incarnations, maybe not quite as heavy, but bands like Blood Command from Scandinavia who do a similar kind of thing. So I really got into it, and it was Fletch who switched me onto it, and he thought it sounded like a couple of those bands, and so I thought I'd check it out.
So he shares the blame as well for me listening to this.
Well, we're going to hear what you think about it, but I'm quite surprised of this negative energy that's coming through so far.
We will hear about what I think of it shortly. Cavell Attack, yeah, I think the first time I listened to Cavell Attack was at Download one year. We saw them on the second stage, I think. Was it second stage? Yeah, maybe second stage, early on in the day. And the lead singer had that owl mask on. I really like the energy of the band. Like, I've never listened to them, really. But it didn't offend me, per se. Turbo Negro, another band who are a very fun band to listen to. And I think a lot of their stuff has been associated with Bam Margera and the Jackass sort of thing. I think a lot of it's promoted through there. So when I listen to this album, I hear a lot of that in there. From the off, right, this is me being honest now, I put this on first and I couldn't wait for it to end. So I first heard it when I was in the gym, and it's very hard when you're in the gym to be motivated about anything anyway. But when it ended, I was fairly happy. But like most albums, nothing really hits first time. So I listened and listened again and really enjoyed this album.
Yes! Winner!
It's so much fun. Like, I mean, I've never listened to a lot of those. I mean, the bands you stated there, Cabal Attack, never really listened to. Turbo Negro, I know a few things here and there. Blood Command, never listened to. But, and as well, punk is a big no from me. But this album just oozes so much personality. Like, it's just from the first track to the last track, it is full of hooky choruses. But at the same time, they do have some elements of black metal riffing in there.
Yeah.
Tinges of it now. I'm not talking like, you know, Enslaved black metal influences. Like, there's tinges of it in there on some of the riffs, which sort of like perk my ears up a bit. But yeah, this is so much fun.
Delighted. And I mean, I would be really disappointed if you really hated this, because I do think, whilst it's not an extreme album, the term black and hardcore, I don't know what you think about that, but I guess what it means is, sure, it's hardcore, sure, there's a load of punk there, but there are elements of extremity, and be that a little run of blast beats. The vocals certainly are rasping and got a bit of bite to them. The music's got a bit of edge. So it's by no means kind of pop goes punk. There is certainly a bit of edge here to keep things, you know, keep things heavy, for want of a better word.
But I mean, at the same time, you've said that pop goes punk. Do you know some of the choruses when I was listening to it? Now, this is probably going to be way left field, but remind me at times of like bands back in when we were teenagers, like Bowling for Soup and Sum 41, like their sort of bouncing choruses. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It makes a whole lot of sense. It's very interesting that you mentioned one of those two bands. I mean, just to take it back a step, I think this album sounds at its core like what it has become, a really fertile scene with its own identity that has come from bands like Turbo Negro, Cabal Attack, that would include bands like Blood Command. But there's a lot of other stuff going on here, and that's what I really like about it. It's got aspects of kind of classic rock, and I think there's a load of Thin Lizzy, just those melodic riffs that ring out and really dominate the tracks. There's kind of, it reminds me of Cancer Bats in a way, when it does go a bit more riffy and a bit more straight up. There's a bit of, I'm talking about a few other kind of Scandinavian bands, but like Refused as well. But one thing that I've got here is Sum 41, and it's really interesting you say that. And some, I think it's the vocal reminds me of Derek Whibley's vocal, certainly that kind of raspy but melodic vocal that goes out over some of those choruses. And I just think you just listen to that first track and you know whether you're going to like it. But it's really bright and major key and uplifting, but it has got that slightly buzzy edge to it, like Cabal Attack have had, some tremolo picks in there, those Thin Lizzy-esque leads running through the back, nice little solo there, clean vocals. I just think that track is a great opener, and it also gives a real flavour of what's to come. And I think if you like that, then you're going to love what's ahead for you.
Definitely. Like, it's not a carbon copy of the opening track, Kings of Chemicals, but throughout this, like, they stick to the same sort of format, don't they? Like, you know, first chorus. By no means are you going to be getting anything that is like Enslaved progressiveness, but when it's this, and at the same time though, in their defense, they have a lot of stuff on this album and their songs. They're, like you touched on, it's not just straight up, you know, bridge, but there's not complexity, but a lot of diversity in the tracks. Which
there's diversity, I agree. And also, it's something that you weren't here, but when we were reviewing the Blood Command record, is the songs are on the face of it quite simple, but you can tell the musicians are actually really very talented and they're cramming a lot of stuff behind the scenes that if you just listen to it on a superficial level, you'd just be kind of tapping your feet to the catchy tune and chorus. But if you listen to it, there's a lot of kind of nuts and bolts behind it in terms of musicianship. And I think that's a real, for me, that's a real talent, is when you can be really technically proficient musically without being showy or wanky and it all just feeding into the benefit of the song. So, I think there's a lot going on in this record that isn't necessarily immediately apparent and doesn't detract from the overall kind of songs that make it up.
The production as well, I think, really adds to it. I was listening to it today a few times before we came on and I was thinking, oh, this production isn't great, but then at the same time I was thinking, this production is perfect for this album.
Like, a little edge to it, isn't it?
Gritty, like, you know, it's not polished, and you can almost, you'd mention this a few times when we talk about these sort of bands, but you can almost smell like the smoke of the practice room and, like, you know, the smell of beer and stuff. And I think that really adds nicely to it. Was this album everything you were expecting? Like, I know we've never heard them before, but when you see For Fans Of, which we touched on, did this tick all the boxes for you?
Yeah, I mean, what I liked about it was it wasn't just one thing. And I think that's what I'm kind of looking for in my music now, is just lots of different flavours going to try and make something that sounds quite original. And to me, this sounded pretty, well, it's not completely the first time I've ever heard this type of music, still pretty original. And I think this kind of music lives or dies on the strength of its songs and its choruses, and I think it does that.
Would you expect to see them, I'm just trying to think how far this band can go, because now, for example, Kvelertak are headlining one of the days at Tons of Rock, which I'm going to in Norway.
Wow.
Headlining, which is...
Really?
Yeah.
I'm shocked at that.
Oh, sorry, they're certainly up high up on the bill. They might be headlining the second stage, but they're really high up there, which surprised me as well. I'm wondering where this band Corrupt can go to, because, I mean, you could probably see them playing, like, definitely the club circuit.
Yeah, I mean, what I'd say is I think from Turbo Negro down, this has never been a massive subgenre. Yeah. I think it's got its fans. I think it potentially is a fair bit bigger in Scandinavia. But I think they'll be topping out at clubs in the UK. And I mean, that's no slight on them. I mean, a good comparison, I think, again, keeping the Scandinavian theme, you remember Bokassa, which isn't a million miles away from this. And they were, for one reason or another, extremely hyped. But you can see they've kind of topped out as well. I mean, they had the backing of Lars Ulrich.
Yeah.
And you can see they kind of topped out from what is also quite a accessible, upbeat, catchy kind of sound. I kind of see where the question's going, but I also think historically this scene has kind of a ceiling on it.
But that by no way detracts from how good this album is. And I sincerely hope that this band does go on and do great things, because coming from Norway, if you're a metal fan, the first thing you say is black metal, are they black metal? And it's a saturated scene. So for these guys to come out and put out an album like this, you know, in a scene which you mentioned, Norway probably is a bit more heightened than, you know, you never really hear black and hardcore in the UK or wherever. I'm just not in touch with it. But I really hope these guys do well. And I hope this album does well, because it does deserve a lot of people to listen to it. And I think the Sum 41, it's not going to be like those, you're not going to get the same jumping like into the instant like hit on going on to American Pie soundtracks and whatever, but I think it will still have that nostalgic feel to it, at points on this album when you listen to it that will take you back to that sort of era. And that's what it did for me as well. I think there was a touch of, you know, back to my youth about it, which, yeah.
You know, do you think that was from Pan Margera's band?
Turbo Negro. CKY.
CKY, is there? Because there is a little bit of that on there. Kind of fuzzy.
Well, I mean, look, on this show, we cover, majority of it is towards the other end of the heaviness, like... Probably a lot coming from me. You know, the albums I put in are definitely towards the heavier end. And we very rarely have any of this sort of album on here. But like we've covered two Doom albums in the last two shows. And just from time to time, it's just nice to have a break and just throw an album that is not going to, you know, you can just put it on while you're making dinner or something. And this is the perfect album for it. So, yeah.
Definitely. And just on the last point for me is you mentioned about that step between, you know, that accessibility step. I would go the reverse, that I think someone like Blood Command, that might be just too much for you, too much pop for you. Right. But this could be a good step down from them in terms of a similar sounding band that aren't too sugary and saccharine, and, you know, still have a bit more bite to their sound. So this could be a reverse gateway band, if that makes sense.
I love that, a reverse gateway band. Yeah, potentially. We'll see. Can't watch you just yet. All right, anyway, on to your rating, mate. I think it's you first. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, really good for me. I enjoyed it a lot. I've gone 7.4.
Oh, wow. That's, I mean, this, if you'd have played this once for me in the state I was in, this would have got binned. But definitely the more you listen to it, the more I fell in love with it, had a great time with it. I started off the show, I have it down as a 7.0, but the more I'm talking about it, the more I'm thinking of the songs in my head now, it's a 7.3 for me.
Lovely stuff. Delighted.
Yeah. Delighted. Really good. And that's Corrupt, Secret Sorrows. It's out on the 1st of March. So it's KORRUPT. Check it out. And that's the end of this week's show. Coming up, we've a lot on the show coming up, mate, don't we? Let's have a look. What have we got? We've got Periphery. We've got Unfurled. We've got Downfall of Gaia. And Four Token. Plus, on the 10th of March, I am going to see Bicurious play Dublin, and I'm going to interview the boys, which will be up on our YouTube channel at some point. Bicurious played Love Tangent last year. They're playing again this year. We really enjoy that band, Benny. So,
soundtrack of the weekend was that.
Absolutely. Good memories. So, that's what's coming up on the show. But until then, we'll love you and leave you, Benny. Always a pleasure.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao for now.